Would you join with me in prayer? O Lord, just as Jesus made the ancient scriptures come alive for the people of his hometown, speak to us through your Holy Spirit so that now, today, your never-changing word might bring new mercies and liberate us from death, sin, and oppression. Through Christ, your word made flesh. Amen. So I was talking today to a friend, not today, excuse me, this week, to a friend who she'd recently visited a healthcare provider. And in this healthcare provider's office, there was this sign that read, "Please be kind to the staff. If you are unable to be kind, you will be denied care and asked to leave." And my friend was thunderstruck by this. My friend had never seen any notice like this and was just astounded that the people who ran the office found it necessary. But evidently, a large number of their clients needed a reminder to show basic decency. But this doesn't seem to be an outlier, does it? People are acting out everywhere. Last year, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reported that traffic fatalities had risen to the highest level since 2007, even as people drove fewer miles due to the pandemic. The rise was driven by an increase in risky behavior, such as failing to wear a seatbelt, speeding, and drunk driving. The Federal Aviation Administration reported a record number of incidents of unruly passengers on airplanes, leading to over 1,000 investigations, more than 5 times the number in any prior year. Even school children are affected, with school administrators reporting high numbers of problems with discipline this year. Maybe you've experienced this edginess with kids in your family or fellow customers in the store or at a community meeting. It just seems to be a feature of the era that we're living in. 2 years into an ongoing pandemic, we're all feeling a bit frayed and fed up. And that's not to condone bad behavior, but I think we can recognize that everyone is carrying a lot of stuff right now. In the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus speaks about good news, release, healing, and freedom. This is his first sermon, the beginning of his public teaching, and so this is where he tells us what it's all about, why he's here, what his purpose is. And there's a word for us here as well. We carry out Jesus' purposes when we do as he did, giving, forgiving, and setting free. Now, as we explore this text, I think it's important to understand first that the text he chooses from the book of Isaiah is a special one and what it has to do with. Isaiah spoke these words to the Jewish people when they were held captive in Babylon as exiles. Isaiah announced that a new time had come, a time he called the year of the Lord's favor. But this was not a new tradition. He didn't invent this image. In the book of Leviticus, God had commanded the observance of the Jubilee every 50 years. Jubilee was the year of the Lord's favor. It was a time of release and new beginnings. Here's how it worked. At the Jubilee, if you had gotten into financial trouble and sold your ancestral land to your neighbor, you got it back on the 50th year at no cost. In the Jubilee, your loans, your debts are canceled. If you sold yourself into slavery so you and your family could eat, you could be free. Jubilee was God's gift, a chance to start over with everyone equally free to enjoy the blessings that God had given to all of them. And so as Isaiah begins to proclaim good news to the exiles, he reaches back into their past and brings forward this image to talk about what God was doing in his time. Because the people had trusted in idols and neglected the poor, they had incurred a debt. And so they'd been held captive by their enemies, the Babylonians. But now God was bringing about their release, forgiving their sin and giving them a chance to start over. It was the Jubilee. by reading the words of Isaiah, by announcing that they are coming true today, right then and there in the Nazareth synagogue. Jesus is announcing Jubilee in his own time as well. He's here to bring release to the captives. Isaiah was probably talking about people held captive in exile and yearning to return home. But Jesus was referring to people who were exiles in their own land or in their own bodies, in the grip of illness and injustice. Jesus says he's here to bring recovery of sight to the blind. And he does literally give blind people their sight back. But he also shows everyone a new way of seeing God's abundance where before there had been only scarcity. He opens eyes to show new hope and new possibility. And Jesus is here to let the oppressed go free. The people are suffering under Roman oppression, but also the oppression of sin, the oppression of religious authorities that impose ridiculous burdens. Jesus is here to bring freedom. That's his good news. That's his gospel. Isaiah, searching for good news, reached back in time and found Jubilee. Jesus, looking for words to speak good news in his own time, reached back and found Isaiah. And today we reach back and lay hold of Jesus and his words in the synagogue of his hometown. There's kind of a chain here where God's activity among our ancestors in faith echoes down through the years again and again. God's promises of relief and release continue to resonate, such that once they come true, they're not finished, but persist in their power down through the generations. God's promises always come true over and over and over again. That's their nature, and that's why we remember them. That's why we read the scriptures. Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, says Jesus. And my hope, my aim today, every Sunday, is to say the same. How is this scripture fulfilled in our hearing? How does God's promise of release and new beginnings find purchase in us today? This week, I've been thinking about some of the words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrated last week. In a sermon at the National Cathedral in Washington, less than a month before his death, he spoke about the interconnectedness of all people and why the cause of justice ought to matter to everyone. He called it an inescapable network of mutuality. And he said that whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. In other words, racism and poverty and injustice ultimately hurt certain people directly, but ultimately hurt all of us because our well-being is tied to that of our neighbors. And in the modern age, he said, commerce and technology and rapid transportation mean that those connections to others quickly run as far as the other side of the world. Look, when I bind you tighter, when I snap crossly at you for something small, when I hold a grudge and refuse to forgive, when I refuse to lift a burden to lighten your load as you stagger under the weight of injustice or grief or anything else you might be carrying, anything that limits, all of that, when I tighten in that way, limits your freedom to move in your other relationships, and the tightness ripples outward along those lines of interconnectedness. The child scolded for no reason by a stressed out parent acts out in class at school. The overwhelmed teacher takes it out on his spouse, who bawls out her subordinates at the office, setting them on edge when they go home to deal with their own children. And round and round. Or to bring this back more closely to Dr. King's struggle, think about what the stress of living with prejudice and discrimination does to families and communities, and how it cycles back through the human networks that we belong to. The knot that we're all part of tightens and it squeezes us all. But if I loosen those same ties, if I meet your crabbiness with mercy and understanding, if I forgive hurts, if I show you generosity in spirit and generosity in material goods too, according to my ability, then that frees you to do the same in your other relationships. And that release also ripples outward. Jesus came to proclaim Jubilee, and he demonstrated that most openly and most profoundly on the cross, making a gift of his life in a way that he didn't have to, in a way that we didn't deserve, but making that gift freely and willingly in a way that freed us from the burden of our sin, freed us to be generous and merciful toward others. Jubilee was always meant for everyone. It was directed first of all at the least and those most burdened by debt, but ultimately it meant a new beginning for everyone. And so Jesus announces, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now more than ever, we're aware of the tightening of those bonds around us and how the burdens our neighbors are carrying weigh on us as well. And somehow we need to find the space in our own lives to practice Jubilee, to free the people around us so they can free the people around them and on and on. That's hard right now. And I won't pretend otherwise, but Jesus set an example for us of what it looks like to take on others' burdens, and he's here to take on ours too. These are hard times. So take some time to pray about it. Name those burdens that you're carrying. Acknowledge them to yourself. Acknowledge them to God. And ask for God's help. Ask your friends in this community too. We don't know what's weighing on you unless you tell us. Make use of the mercy that God promises. Because this is what's going to give you the space you need to move, to be able to release the knots that tie us all. I don't think we're going to get through this except with mercy, forbearance, and kindness. Today, Jesus says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Lord Jesus, make a fulfillment of your promise in us today. Amen.